comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ, literal translations phrase it. So, hear the good news taught as often as you can. I encourage you guys, listen to those whose life reflects what the Bible teaches. People worthy of respect, listen to what they have to say. And listen to those who know your life and have a responsibility before God to speak into it. I guarantee you, I do not take my role lightly. Every time I stand up here and propose to accurately communicate God's intention to you, it's a weighty task. And I am in prayer and I take it seriously. Somebody was commenting about how it seems odd that I'd be so serious about preparing for a message, because when I'm up here, I can seem so fun. It's like, well, yeah, it's because I've already done the hard work and I'm fairly confident in what I have to say. And if not, I will let you know. Do these five things, guys. Do these five things in increasing measure, and you will find your relationship with God take off like never before. I know it has with mine. But don't think that this is just plug and play. There are many people out there who know the Bible better than I do, but are spiritually immature. And some are even deceived. I know of three prerequisites before the Word of God will have its full effect in your life. Turn to Hebrews 4:2. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Just go back a little bit, you should get there. Hebrews 4:2. Listen to this. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Wow. The truth in this book will do you no good if you don't believe it or unite it with faith, as other translations put it. I like the way that's phrased. Unite it with faith. We need to have faith in God's word. The more confident you are that this is God's revealed good news to us, and that it can and will grow you up in Christ, the more power it will have in transforming your life to be like Christ. Another prerequisite. Look at James 1:21. James is the very next book towards the back. So go to the end of Hebrews and bam, there it is. James 1:21. He says, so get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. Again, it's the stuff that will ruin your relationship with God. And then he goes on, he says, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For, listen to this, for it has the power to save your souls. We need to humbly accept God's word into our life. And I talked about this on Tuesday when we did a teaching on how to study the Bible. We looked at Isaiah 66, verse 2, where God says, this is the one he looks at. Who catches God's eye? Who does God like to look at? Who really, you know, gets God excited? He likes to look at him. Thinks they're pretty cool. Who is that? It's the person who is humble and contrite and troubles at his word. We need to take on the humble attitude of a servant and do what God says. The last prerequisite is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Ah, it's a T, so 1 Thessalonians. Find the T, so find them all. First Thessalonians 2, verse 13. First Thessalonians 2, 13 says this. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received this message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human words. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which, of course, it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. The Thessalonian believers had a deep respect for the word of God. They believed it for what it was, as God's very thoughts revealed to mankind. And we need to do the same thing before the full impact of God's word can have on our lives. Before, like we say, it continues, this word continues to work in you who believe. And if you want to unleash the power of God's word into your life, you need to have a deep respect for it. You need to believe that it is God's word. You need to humble yourself before it. I mean, this is not just another book. It's the compilation of the will and words of God for all humanity. It's the truth. And the truth will transform your life. It will make you like Christ. It's a powerful, powerful resource that God has given to us in order to connect and have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I do have two more verses that I'd like to land on, lest we leave our time thinking that a relationship with God is simply a matter of reading the Bible. That is certainly not the case. Remember, the Bible is a means to an end. The end is being best friends with Jesus Christ. The closer you get to that end, the more you will be like him. Devouring the Bible and doing those five things and getting a grip on God's word, that's just one crucial aspect of attaining to that goal. There are other aspects to our walk with God, and I am simply going to summarize two of the biggies. Psalm 5:3. Turn there. It's right in the middle of your Bible. Psalms. And so 5. And then relatively quickly. 5:3. This is what it says. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I will bring my requests to you and wait expectantly. This is a prayer written down by King David. You know King David, that guy who was a man after God's own heart. And you might wonder, how did this guy earn such an honor to be called a man after God's own heart? Now, how can I get me some of that? You know, by what measure could he be given such an honor? Well, the verse gives us a clue. He spent time talking to God every morning. And he didn't just talk to God and go on and get busy doing other things. No, what does it say? He waited expectantly for God to talk back to him, for God to speak to him. Throughout his day, he anticipated God is going to speak to him. And he walked. You and I can talk to God right now, believe it or not. I'm sure you believe that, but you can. And not just morning by morning, but moment by moment, experiencing an ongoing, intimate relationship with God. When I have more time to teach on prayer, I'm going to tell you about Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence is this monk in the 1400s who became so aware of the presence of God in his life that he interacted with him constantly. Some of his fellow monks thought he had gone crazy. He would be there doing the dishes, talking to God as if he's drying them. pretty intense. You can read about it in a book called Practicing the Presence of God. I highly recommend it. Lastly, let's go back to James. Remember James? It was after Hebrews. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we will end here. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, says this in the NLT. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, read it this, listen to this, when it's fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. James here is priming the pump for a whole discussion on how God uses pain and problems to help us grow into Christ-like maturity. You know what kind of things I'm talking about. Broken vehicles, flat tires, from Marcy yesterday. Lost jobs, going, 15 months without a job. Relationships gone bad. Unexpected bills that you don't have the money to pay for. Disappointing situations. I'm sure you can fill in the gaps with your own specifics. These things, these painful things, these problems are opportunities for joy. Not because they're fun, but because they drive us to God. They drive you to a deeper relationship with Him. That's why you can have joy. It drives you right to the throne room of God, right to His presence. That's just two additional aspects of walking with God. But the bottom line is this. Through the scriptures, through prayer, through pain and problems, you and I can fulfill God's will for our lives as expressed in the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you didn't love us and leave us. When you created the world, you stuck with us through all the pain and misery throughout the centuries, and many people have faulted you on that, saying, how can God be so loving when there's so much pain and suffering in the world? You were so patient. You dealt with us for so many years until the time was right to send your Son. You suffered and died to pay for our sin. And now anyone who puts their faith and their trust in Christ can be born again into a new relationship with God. And as we love you by devouring your word, craving the pure milk of the word, and talking to you in prayer, and drawing close to you when hard times come, rather than running away and complaining and faulting you for them, but rather going straight to you in the midst of them. We can become so close to God that we can become like you. I know it's the cry of your heart. It's your will for our lives. And I pray that nobody here would miss it. In Jesus' name. Hey, one thing that God asked us to do, since we're such forgetful people, is to have this thing called communion, or breaking of bread. And we're going to do that right now. And we've got a little video that we're going to show while we pass around some pieces of bread and little cups of juice. And the video is designed just to help you remember Him, to remember Jesus Christ until He comes again in glory. Go ahead and take the bread and the cup whenever you feel so inclined. All right? Go ahead and let it remember.